Can you believe it? Another week of NXT action is come and gone. But of course, these guys are going to break it all down. Welcome, it's your boy Flobo Boys. You know, I got to stop saying that. Everyone always says it's your boy. How many boys do we got? We don't know. But I'm being joined by the real Jack Farmer, who's actually my boy off camera. What's up, man?
I'm doing good. You know, we're back again after another big NXT event. As usual, a day late and a dollar short this time around. But it's going to be a fun show.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that. I want to congratulate everyone who's watching us on your streaming platform of choice, on that Facebook, that LinkedIn, that YouTube, that X, that Twitch, that Trovo Live. Hey, drop a comment in there or a question in the comments below. We'll definitely go through it. You know, before we get into the shenanigans in NXT, just give me big picture, right? We talked about how in the fall, when it comes to WWE brands, things seem to be kind of a ramping up period, kind of a slow down to the ramp up. Like, what's NXT like for you energy-wise?
I think this is fun. It's exciting. It's like when you date someone new and you're on your first few dates. We're sort of figuring each other out right now with the Iron Survivor and a lot of things changing in the landscape of NXT. We're sort of figuring out who fits where and what's going to go where. It's an exciting time to be watching because I think anything is possible right now in NXT.
Oh, that's great. The Jack got a new camera. He got a new football too. I mean, the guy's living life. Look at that.
No, I finally, you know, there's the never-ending changing of structure in this area, in this room, is just continuing on going. I was against the wall over here. I used to shoot this way, and now I'm shooting this way, obviously, because I have a window here that changes the lighting. But that football, by the way, that is a from the actual field of Super Bowl 40, where the Seahawks were robbed from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Aren't you a Seahawks fan?
Yeah, I'm a huge Seahawks fan.
Why would you get the football of the game they lost?
Because I didn't know they were going to go back. I got that back then. I didn't know they were going to go back to the Super Bowl.
Oh, well, there you go. What a weird flex. It's like me with my Mr. Met poster, which is off the camera here. Anyway, let's get
into it. I don't know about you, but I have one of those. Do you have one of those, like, NFC champions or AFC, like, not the Super Bowl champion, but, like,
right,
the division champion shirt?
Yeah, yeah.
That's always a little bittersweet too. Like, yeah, it's cool, but why are
half the teams? Sure did, darn tootin'. Cool. Let's get into our main event to this evening. Baron Corbin, who seems to be on an absolute tear all around the backstage area, just making NXT his home away from home, takes on the returning Wesley. And well, Wesley really acquitted himself well, but that seems to be a common trope I am seeing about this poor gentleman. He does a really good job, but ultimately it was end of day. Shenanigans happened thereafter, so I have a bunch of questions with this one. Baron Corbin, is he just hanging out in NXT, dragging off? What does he want? Can I have his tie guy? And Wesley, is he going to leave again?
Well, first off, is Baron Corbin just hanging out in NXT?
He's hanging.
The guy just got an NXT championship shot against one of those dangerous champions they've ever had. What do you mean?
You know what I mean.
Just hanging Jack. Out. The guy.
You know what I mean, Jack.
Successful.
He's a recent free agent, but he's on one brand. Is he still a free agent at that point?
He's Baron Corbin. He can do whatever he wants. Look, let me ask you this.
Ask me that.
Are you implying that you think he might show up somewhere else?
He should.
No, he burned the ships, Flobo. Have you been paying attention? He's stuck there. He's stranded. He's in NXT forever now.
There are no brands separated by moats in wrestling. What are you talking about?
You don't use a ship to cross a moat, Flobo. You use a bridge.
I'm sorry. I have no idea. Listen.
How could you be a commentator for pro wrestling without understanding the nuances of ships and water? This is how there's certain types of ways you cross different bodies of water. You use a boat to cross a lake, a ship to cross the ocean, a bridge to cross a moat. It's wrestling commentary 101, Flobo.
Breaking news, apparently I'm a fraud. This is the last episode of Troy Jane Gold. Good night, everybody. Whatever. Wesley, though, what about this guy? He's back. He's losing again. What gives?
Yeah, this is, you know, a lot of times people will say they can get away from everything, heal, get ready to go, and come back stronger than ever. I think Wesley is someone who stepped away for a little bit, and the ring rust may have gotten him a little bit. He got beaten today in the main event, even though he was coming back fresh. Flobo, I want to echo what I was saying last week. Little concerned about Wesley. I want him to come back focused. I want him to come back ready to get some wins. but he was dancing. He was laughing. He was silly. He even told the champion, you know what? I don't even care about winning the NXT title. That's not the mindset you want to have if you want to be successful in a place that's as cutthroat as NXT.
I have a question that kind of dovetails to Lamb's question here. Dominic Mysterio makes his appearance and got caught astray throughout all of the kerfuffle with the new brand launch and stuff like that. Do you think it's time for the belt to get a bit of a refresh?
I do. I think it's time for a refresh because, much to Lamb's point, the rainbow color isn't really associated with NXT anymore. So it feels a little out of date, but also with the main roster, SmackDown and Raw, getting new championships and new titles to reflect that, I think the NXT should do the same and sort of, I'd like to see them find something that is a happy medium that is similar to what the SmackDown and Raw brands do so that there's a continuity between all three.
Well, there you go. I'm kind of interested to see what happens to either men, but yeah, I know that whole Wesley thing is really ticking me off. We talk about this all the time off camera. I go, all right, yeah, he goes, finds himself, comes back reinvigorated, but now taking that loss, I'm like, is he going to quit again? Because frankly, that's not what champions do. Ask John Cena.
Well, yeah, if you're going to mimic a champion, you might as well mimic John Cena. You're right, though. This was the kind of matchup that, frankly, Wesley should have won. Yes, Dominic Mysterio was out there, but Dominic Mysterio didn't really play a huge part in the overall outcome of this matchup. If Dominic Mysterio wasn't out there, then realistically, Wesley would have just bit it on the outside after he dove to the outside. So this one really falls on Wesley. This one falls on his shoulders. And so, again, I want to see him stop trying to be the fun guy and start trying to be like Ilya Dragunov. Be serious. Be ready to take people's heads off. And I know he's not gonna like to hear this, but I really think Wesley should have a sit down with Baron Corbin and maybe bring a pad and pen and take some notes and figure out how he can be more like Baron.
Just real quick before you move on, another matchup this evening. You know, Baron Corbin was talking backstage with Lexus King, and props to him and his dope facial hair, about really coming forward and saying he was the guy that attacked Trick Williams, and Baron Corbin gave him all the credit in the world. I know you're Mr. Baron Corbin's a tag team with this person. Would you buy into a Corbin King tandem?
Flobo, you're doing what all the spin artists, news anchors try to do out there.
I am.
You tucked a little lie underneath a bunch of other stuff and then tried to divert that and ask a question that
the beard wasn't good? What are you talking about?
Lexus King didn't admit to attacking anyone.
He totally did.
He did not say, what were his words? His words were mission accomplished.
Yeah,
that could be a million things.
Oh, yeah, he's watching the Apollo moon landing.
Yeah, look, just because mission accomplished, I mean, maybe he was trying to cut weight and he finally got to his goal. Maybe he wanted to read a book every month for all of 2023 and he finally finished it. And now he's like, hey, mission accomplished. I'm ahead of schedule. This is great. Why do you assume?
Why would he do that? Yo, man, I've been reading books lately, you know, and mission accomplished. That's not what happened.
These guys are good.
He said, tell people Trick Williams. He goes, listen, man, mission accomplished.
Baron Corbin was talking about getting Trick Williams out of the way, which is what he did. He got him distracted with his own partner, Carmelo Hayes. We saw that there's tension between the two because of Lexus King. Lexus King never said, I attacked Trick Williams. And the fact that you just throw that out there like it's fact, Flobo, I'm frankly a little shamed.
Ask you this. In your opinion, who did that? Who?
I don't know.
No, right. Talk about journalistic integrity, and you've totally dressed me down twice already, 10 minutes into this. And I ask you a simple question to you to infer based on the knowledge and expertise you have. You go,
I don't like to throw around false accusations. This is a big thing to accuse someone of attacking somebody else without any proof.
Lamb, you're banned.
It's just wild.
I'm not trying to get clickbait, Lamb.
That's, I mean, Lamb makes a good point. Now, I appreciate you doing what you need to do to make us an award-winning show by getting.
Award-winning show. Look,
but
we got one.
When people find out that you're just saying things, I mean, this isn't some political talk show where you say something, whatever you want, and hope people catch on. Lexis King never admitted to anything.
Let's talk about wild allegations, because it seems like the big storyline going into this one was Chase Yu is under investigation, but for what? We're not so sure. And Jack probably won't speculate because he doesn't do that anymore. But anyway.
Anymore? See, you did it again. You slipped something in. And then
I'll burn your ships. Anyway, tag team titles were on the line as the family stacks Lorenzo and Tony D'Angelo got a rematch against Chase Yu. And well, the name of the game here was distractions up and down, whether it's JC Jane or Andre Chase. But we do have a new tag team champion crowned on NXT this week. Jack, walk me through the investigation. Who's that third lady hanging out with the family? Is it Big Ange? I hope it's Big Ange. Big Ange is cute. And what heads next for Chase Yu?
Well, I think that this new addition to the family is already paying dividends for them. Clearly, she was able to bring to the attention of the media some shady things that are happening at Chase U, something that a lot of schools are dealing with these days here in the States. A lot of things coming out about how these schools are being run. You could tell. Look, Chase U, by the way, Andre Chase hasn't denied anything. You notice that? His silence speaks volumes. His silence is telling me all I need to know to blatantly accuse Andre Chase of wrongdoing very easily because he said nothing. That clearly means he's guilty, Flobo.
Wait, what? How's guilty of what?
I can't walk you through this. We don't have
yes, you can. The whole show about walking me through things. Clearly, I literally say, Jack, walk me through this. What are you talking about?
Clearly, he is guilty. You can see how disheveled he is. And I'm gonna be honest with you.
Wait, hold on.
Now, when it comes to these situations, I am a fan of the athletes. It comes down to the competition. If you're doing things on the side that may not be on the up and up, that's okay to me as long as you're getting wins. But now he's costing not only himself, but everyone else in Chase University because of the wrongdoings he has committed. And that is a problem. And any other school would oust their coach, oust the teacher, oust the athlete. And I think it's time that the people who run Chase University finally enact some disciplinary measures on Andre Chase.
But you don't know what it is.
Flobo.
Yes, I'm asking you. You don't know what it is. How can you punish someone?
Between the lines.
What lines, Jack? What lines?
I want to talk about JC Jane for a second.
Wait a minute. You're diverting. Go ahead.
I have a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling. Okay, and cool. I don't want her to get in trouble. I don't want to put anyone's life in danger. I have a feeling she's working with the family. I have a feeling everything she's doing has been just to get some information on Chase U. That's right. Okay. I think she's a mole.
Okay. Well, it seems to be a very obvious mole, right? Why would you have someone just hanging out? She was reading the documents last week. That's actually a decent theory for a change there, Jack Farmer.
Well, this is where things get interesting, Flobo.
Uh-oh. See, I give you praise, and this is not good enough. Okay. What is it this time?
I think sometimes when you play both sides.
Like you do?
You know, as... Sometimes when you play both sides, it makes me think of a guy like a Donnie Brasco or one of these guys who have been on, you know, if you watch like the Departed, sometimes you get caught up in it, Flobo. And I got a feeling that while she was spying on Andre Chase, she didn't just catch him. She caught feelings.
Wow. I didn't see that coming. Moving on, before we get to our next matchup today, because it's kind of weird, just got to say that if you haven't already, make sure you picked up your copy of the Draped in Gold logo tee, now available on the interwebs at tinyurl.com/drapedingold. Look fly for the winter and holiday season with Draped in Gold merch, talking shirts, talking hoodies, talking a lot more. tinyurl.com/drapedingold. And you too can be someone qualified as Jack Farmer, because he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about week in and week out.
There's no better piece of merchandise to let the world know that you have the inside track on what's really happening in NXT.
Oh, wow, that was actually pretty positive. I like it. You get two. I wish I had a blink sound effect. We get two more matches in the Iron Survivor Challenge qualifiers. This one from Hall of Famer Lita. What's up? Which also means JBL is on the clock, which is interesting because, I mean, really, who's going to say JBL, your time's up? We moved on and got somebody else to pick these matches. But anyway, Lita picks two. Roxanne Perez versus Last Legend on the women's side and Joe Coffey versus Trip Williams on the men's side. Totally much going to the promise of giving new competitors a chance to compete. Let's talk about the women's side first. Roxanne Perez, the prodigy, to me was the odds-on favorite going into this matchup due to the number of wins she had in her career. Not hating on your girl, but Last Legend, someone who hasn't won a match on NXT in over 9 months, even longer if you count NXT Level Up, gets the dub, and it's Last Legend going along the timeline or deadline.
Yeah, you know what? You know, I feel like we should just call the show Iron Survivor. You know, like call it Royal Rumble. Let's just call it Deadline. Iron Survivor. Iron Survivor sounds cool. But in any case, Roxanne Perez is in one of the most difficult spots you can be in all of sports. And that is, she is someone who we just expect to win every single time. It's something that someone like Tom Brady had to deal with. LeBron James had to deal with. Jack Farmer. All of the greats. You know, I'm not going to put my name amongst those names. I'll let everyone else do that.
Oh, you're so decent and modest. I appreciate you.
But she's at this situation where no matter who she's in the ring with, we just expect her to win. And that is a very tough spot to be in, especially for someone as young as her. I know she's a prodigy. I know she's incredible. And I know she's probably going to end up being a WWE champion on Raw or SmackDown down the road sometime. It's a long way between here and the Hall of Fame, but if Future Jack came back and said Roxanne Perez in the Hall of Fame, I wouldn't be that shocked. You know,
would Future Jack be wearing? Will it be a suit or will it be like one of those futuristic things, like the silver pajamas in movies, you know?
It's going to be silver pajamas.
Yeah.
It's going to be with light up like lines around it.
Like Tron?
Yes. It's going to be a Tron jumpsuit is what I'm going to be wearing.
That's fantastic. How can you tell up in the future? Oh, no. No reason.
So she's in a tough spot here. But also because of that, she doesn't get the same opponents everyone else gets. See, if Last Legend was fighting anyone else, Last Legend would have approached it like any other match. Last Legend knew she was in a fight with Roxanne Perez. So Last Legend prepares for a match with someone who is potentially a future Hall of Famer. And there, she prepares differently. This match means more to a Last Legend. So she gives more. And Roxanne Perez, she doesn't ever get a night off. She has to face the very best each and every time she's in the ring. And that wears on people. And I think that's one of the things that caught up to her today. You know, in addition to some people on the outside, but that's neither here nor there.
Okay, so I won't talk about Last Legend in a second, but that's the more pressing issue. Keanu James is someone that I'm a big fan of, for better or worse. I talk about her way more than people allow me at parties. People are getting kind of creeped out about it. But look, she got involved in this matchup too. After getting involved in the matchup with Tiffany Stratton in the past couple of months, with Gigi Dolin in the past couple of months, here is somebody who just seems to be upsetting apple carts for almost no reason. What is Keanu James, what's on her mind, and why is Roxanne the new target?
Keanu James is bitter. I don't blame her. Have you ever had your dreams and aspirations ripped away from you? That's what
you're asking a late 30s person who has a wrestling podcast about jeans being ripped away from them? Yes, it happens all the time, Jack.
Well, then you understand. You understand that feeling of someone who is successful, should be more successful, but isn't successful as successful as they should be because other people have taken that spot. That's where Keanu James is right now.
Okay.
And she knows, because she's been successful in all of her other ventures, that you can't just wait for the next opportunity. You got to take it. And the best way to do that is to take that person that's the prodigy, all the things I just said about Roxanne Perez, and take the fight to her. You know, it's almost like they say, like in prison, you get arrested. What's the first thing you do? You punch the biggest guy in the yard. What Kiana James is doing is she's punching the biggest guy in the yard. And I think it's a great move. Could be a great move unless the biggest guy in the yard punches you back, I guess.
Yeah, the biggest person in the yard is what, 4'11" and 125 pounds?
It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog, Flobo.
Okay, let's talk about the actual big dog here. Last legend, part of metaphor.
Roman?
You know what? Let's get ourselves canceled. All right, so Last Legend gets the dub here, and I thought it was surprising, but you're a metaphor fan. You know that each of them is great. There are no pillars. Now, I actually like Lash as a concept. I said this on the old Draped in Gold, that when she was on NXT UK, she looked like a force of nature. Didn't seem to be much the case here. But just 3 weeks ago, we thought Lash would be in that tag team division player. Will this upset the plans, or do you think Metaphor is looking to be Draped in Gold?
There's only one way that this will upset the plans of her being in the tag team division, and that is if she fails or if she succeeds. If she succeeds, well, now we're looking at an NXT championship shot. Yeah, that's going to stop her from pursuing the tag team titles. If she doesn't, then I think she'll be right back at it. Jakara clearly has an injury to her wrist or her arm. I don't know what it is, but she's got the cast on. So that's not an option one way or the other. I think it's smart for Lash Legend to continue to compete as a singles competitor. I want to say the difference, though. In all the things that we've talked about, the NXT UK, Lash Legend when she first started, I think now there's a difference between being confident in yourself. Lash Legend clearly confident in herself. I don't think she's ever lacked that confidence. But there's a difference between being confident and being comfortable. I think what Metaphor has given Lash Legend is a support system that allows her to now be comfortable, whether it be on the mic or in the ring. She knows she has her group with her. She knows that they're going to be there for her. And now she can be comfortable. Instead of trying to back up what she says, she knows that it's going to be okay. And she can just let things happen instead of being tight and worried. I think she's looser now. And I think she's so much better now.
Well, it remains to be seen. I guess that was a surprise of the night for me. Not going to rain at anyone's parade this time. But that brings me to this week's general manager pick. And for those of you who don't know, this is where I have to ask Jack as if he is the general manager of NXT, taking Shawn Michaels' job, what he would do in certain situations. This one's about Metaphor. So Metaphor is rolling. Noam Dar, Heritage Cup champion, Last Legend in the Iron Survivor Challenge. Matchup, you get the call. This time, it's from SmackDown. No titles are going to be involved in this exchange, but would you send Metaphor and cash considerations to SmackDown in exchange for damage control?
No.
But Bayley, Asuka, Kairi Sane, what are you doing, man? Io Sky, what are you doing, man?
I think that damage control obviously would be a huge pickup, right? And I think that they would obviously be good for NXT. But if I'm in the role of Shawn Michaels, if I am the general manager of NXT, which means I am right there alongside Mick Foley, Lita, JBL, I'm at that level because they're also guest GMs, then I'm looking at what I have. And I have a great roster of women's wrestlers right now. And you think of it like a baseball team. Right now, I'm blanking, Flobo. The league below that you're
AAA,
your AAA team. My AAA team is filled with talent.
Yeah,
I'm filled with talent at that position. So I don't need to give up stars to get more of that talent. Are they there right this second? No, but they'll be there next year. So I don't want to give away draft picks and cash considerations and stars of today when those plants are going to bear fruit next year anyhow.
This guy's playing the long game. I like it. I like it. I too would probably deny that because I bet SmackDown would ask for a lot more cash considerations than I have, but that's just me because I'm broke, baby. On the other side of the Iron Survivor Challenge qualifier, it was Joe Coffey against Trick Williams. Now we talk about how NXT UK has a pedigree of those who can fight. Joe Coffey was that with number one in the bullet, even though the win-loss records weren't that great. But Trick Williams had one of the best. Okay, you call it rookie years? Because, I mean, he was there when NXT 2.0 started, but this is really the first year he was actually in the ring competing that we've ever seen. Trick Williams gets the dub with the flash knee. question I have for you. Was this an upset?
Absolutely was an upset. Joe Coffey is no slouch. So I agree with you. I would use the phrase Trick William breakout star of the year. I know they have a breakout tournament, but I think that when we talk about the guys that have really stepped up what they are doing, their visibility, all those things, I think across the board, across the all brands, Trick Williams is probably the breakout star in pro wrestling this year. 100%. That said, Joe Coffey, and I know some people maybe who have only watched NXT stateside may not understand that Joe Coffey is truly one of the toughest outs you will ever have in pro wrestling. He is as tough and as mean and as strong and as hard hitting as you're going to ever have to deal with. And there are very few people, Flobo, that if you ask me beating him is an upset, that I'm going to say, no, it wasn't. He is that guy. I think he is always a couple wins away from being the NXT champion. Mm-hmm. He may not have the gold to prove it right now, but if you beat Joe Coffey, you definitely got the upset win.
I like pretending to be Joe Coffey because he has the highest arm fold in the game. It's like up here, you know.
Oh yeah, if he folds his arms too long, he'll suffocate.
Yeah, just passes himself out.
by sleeper hold.
Yeah, exactly. Here's your winner. So Trick Williams joins Zijak at Deadline, which I'm always going to call Timeline. I'm just going to mess that up all the time. But other question, side question, Carmelo Hayes ringside. Is Trick Mello Gang A-okay?
How many times do you have to ask this question, Flobo? This team is perfect. I don't know why we ever doubted Carmelo Hayes. I think the fact that so many people, the phonies acted like this guy was the greatest. We could go back on Twitter, and I'm sure you could find so many tweets. You can find so many posts. You can find so many podcasts and other people who are like, Carmelo Hayes is great. He's the future. I love him. He's the best. And then one thing happens. Aaron's like, he must be a criminal. He's a horrible person. Get out of here. There's so many people.
That was last week.
They throw people under the bus just because maybe.
Who dropped the bus?
That's what's wrong with people on social media today, Flopo. Right. But I never doubted Carmelo Hayes. I always believed in him. And now I'm glad Trick Williams does too. Yeah, it was an accident. They said it was an accident. Things happen. You know, it's cool. It's fine. You see, Carmelo Hayes was out there helping his pal this week.
Yeah. Do you think Trick Williams walks away the number one contender after Deadline?
I think he very well could. I would never put any money down just yet because we don't know who the other competitors are. So,
I get that, but you told me that Joe Coffey is one of the hardest outs. He's out. Trick Williams and Zijak are in the match now. Sight unseen, do you think he has more than the standard 20% chance of winning?
Well, right now, technically, he's got a 50% chance of winning.
Don't do this. I got 141.
I mean, right now, it's 50-50. I will say, I think that, you know, I think him and Dijak are just that's a tough call. Cause I, you know me, I'm a big fan of the rules of matches. Like that's one of the reasons I love the Heritage Cup.
The rules of matches is what you like.
I'm a big fan, and both of them have a lot of strengths in something like the Iron Survivor, but for very different reasons. Dijak is going to be able to put people down and absorb a lot of punishment, but Trick Williams is going to be tough to pin. He's got that heart. He's got the momentum. So I don't see him spending a whole lot of time in the timeout situation. I don't see either of them getting many timeouts. So this is a tough one.
Let me stop it down for a second. Because I get last year, the first time we saw the Iron Survivor Challenge, I wasn't that blown away only because of the penalty box mechanic, right? If you lose and you have to be like theoretically rolled into a box for 90 seconds to be pushed out, to me, this seems kind of odd. Now, second year going in there, you're a fan of the rules of wrestling. Will this one supersede expectations, or is this pretty much a ceiling of what this can be?
I think this one will be better than last year's. And the reason is because this is kind of a tricky match as far as the rules go. There is some weirdness to the rules, not weirdness, but not things that people that are easy to know. You got to know the rules very well. Again, much like Heritage Cup. We saw Akira Tozawa, a veteran in pro wrestling, didn't really, I think, understand the rules well enough, and I think that cost him in how he handled the match. This is the second time around. So these guys know how this works. They're going to be able to take advantage of the rules. They're going to be able to take advantage of the ebbs and flow of a match like this. And I think it's going to be even better.
Well, if it doesn't, I'll blame you. I'm with you. I feel like professional, man, if I'm plus put your hand up, I'm rambling too long. But I was asking this question on X. That, all right, next topic is another matchup in the women's division. No. Ariana Grace takes on Gigi Dolin.
No, it's a joke. It was a joke.
What are you gonna... with the yes and okay? No, I like wrestling stipulations as much as the next guy, but I feel like the last really good ones are about 20 years old, like Money in the Bank or King of the Mountains, even older than that. And but even though there are, this is pretty much a new kind of match, I don't think it's going to last in the pantheon. Even though Heritage Cup I love, I don't think that's taking either. Even though I feel like I'm pushing people to check out Heritage Cup matches, I don't think it's being like embraced the way I want as well. Is there something wrong where all the simple matches have already been taken? Is there just waiting for the next big thing? What do you think about that?
Heritage Cup is one of my favorite match types. I said a bunch. I love it, but I wouldn't bet the farm that it's going to last. I get where you're coming from with that, because I don't know if the rest of the wrestling world is embracing it. That said, I think that the Iron Survivor stands a great chance of being successful. And the reason is one, it's once a year pinned to an event. And I think that that is very helpful in helping force us to get time to grow, to love that match type. Also, frankly, it's at a time of year where there's a lot of opportunity for things like that to stand out. If this match type was happening, say, in March, I would be a little concerned about it. But since it's near the holidays, it's when a lot of pro wrestling slows down a little bit. Yeah. I think that it's going to have the space it needs to continue to be exciting and continue to be something that we put in the calendar.
It's also the last PLE of the year, which is interesting to me because I guess I'm used to like that, the Armageddon or TLC at some point being December. But after Survivor Series, main roster is to go back to the Rumble. And this is kind of the last send off so for the year. But let's got to move on. Interest of time. Gigi Dolin, Ariana Grace. Not much to say about this one here because Ariana Grace got shut up pretty handedly and decisively. But I have a hot take and I want your opinion on it. You know, Ariana Grace is looking for world peace. She's a beauty queen. You know, it would be kind of good to have in her corner. Mr. Stone, thoughts?
I like it on paper. And the reason I say that is because I'm a big Robert Stone fan. But it feels like, as I look at what he's doing now with Von Wagner, is there is a lot of time being spent away from actually getting wins. Mm-hmm. And what I want to see Ariana Grace do is get some wins. Ariana Grace, early contender for next year's breakout star, by the way. I think that I love her attitude. I love what she brings to the table. I think she handled herself very well. I love the fact that she's always speaking positivity. She's never letting herself get down. I think that is a huge, huge thing for someone to have. Ariana Grace, this time next year, is going to be the person everyone is saying, oh, she's going to be a star. I'm telling you now. I'm telling you today. Ariana Grace, buy now, farmers market stock.
I got to give a special shout out to Lamb, who said this on our last subject matter about match types. The Heritage Cup is perfect for the UK crowd due to tradition. For the US crowd, is difficult. And I agree with that, with the avid caveat that the rules have changed. Like, one of the cool things I liked about the Heritage Cup is that if it went the full six rounds, it was a sudden death component. Now, champion retains. So if I am the champion, there's really no incentive for me to really engage with anybody. And we're seeing, I guess it really plays as I'm like Noam Dar, but then it kind of missing the spirit of competition. But that's just me being an old fogey. And he also says, imagine Ariana Grace getting speared by Braun Breaker thanks to Mr. Stone and Flo would do to his idea. Hey, I don't advocate spearing. I'm just saying, it'd be kind of cool to have him out.
Braun Breaker lifting those stairs above his head. Take this. Oh my God.
No. I'm sorry. I'll change. Flubble will change.
But I do. I want to say with the Heritage Cup too, I think there's also just the pacing of US broadcasts. Obviously, for a match type like this to really become embraced by fans here in the States, you got to have a lot of matches. You got to let us see what it is and understand it. But these matches do take up a bit of time. And most U.S. events, we want to see things move a bit faster than what the Heritage Cup does.
I would love, because I think the UK did this by accident. I think the UK did this by accident, but I would love a Heritage Cup match where like you have like the old school cameras where like used to like make the lights all stringy and like, you know, like slow pans on the cup. You know, yeah. They give it a different like 90s CRT presentation. It was kind of dope.
Yeah.
But I'm an old fogey. Our last physical matchup in here before we get to burning questions was the Brawling Brutes, that's Butch and Rich Holland, against OTM or Out the Mud, Lucian Price, Bronco Nima. I'm high on Lucian Price, even though the Brawling Brutes got the win here. Look, I know fighters are going to fight, players are going to play, all that jazz, but I have a feeling, man, the Brawling Brutes is kind of just wandering aimlessly, whether it's going to be in England or Ireland or in a factory in Orlando, just having matches for the sake of having matches. What gives?
Isn't that what they are? They're the Brawling Brutes. They go around and they pick fights and they have fights. That's, I mean, they literally tell you that. We go to the pub, we get into fights. That's what we do.
That's actually Galaxy's gimmick. They have bangers after bangers, but I don't think they've been hitting the same, you know? They're kind of like, banger.
Well, they don't have their boss with them. They don't have Sheamus, their leader. That's the difference there. You're right. I think there are pieces of Out the Mud that are very strong. I think these guys will bounce back and be able to get some wins. Listen to the Brawling Brutes. Also, not anything to be ashamed of. I mean, these guys, I mean, Pete Butch Dunne.
Yeah.
he's been an NXT UK champion. He's as tough as they come. Rich Holland, we've seen that he's as strong as a truck. So losing to those two guys, not the end of the world. I think that they're still young. They're fresh. I think the thing that's holding back Out of the Mud right now, as far as in the ring, is they're used to fighting in the streets.
Scripps, he's holding them back. That's what it is. I can't take it seriously. I will tell you why. So Bronco Nima and Lucian Price, I'm willing to buy that these people are from the same neighborhood or the same city or the same town or even the same university. I don't know. the same. Yeah, exactly. They met at the same AmeriCorps outreach post. But Scripps to me always seem added. They don't talk the same. They have different gestures. It really feels like it's tacked on. Now, sometimes that works, right? I remember Hit Row. I felt Shante the Adonis didn't quite mix with Swerve, but together, Hit Row as a foursome was way better than any iteration we've seen since then. So I'll give you that. But when I see Out the Mud, I go, these two guys are hanging with somebody they can beat up. These two guys are hanging with somebody who aren't as smart as them, aren't as fast as them, like in character. So I really want them to be like, look, guys, we're going to do our thing personally.
So what do you want Scripps to do? Like, how would you like him to? You think there's no way he can prove to you that he is a good leader to this group?
To me, if Scripps went to, if Scripps had a storyline or had like a, not a storyline, because you don't believe in storylines, this is real action combat. If Scripps went to business school and started booking matches how Paul Heyman used to do back in the day and say, fellas, I got you something. Let me show you the school of MVP on NXT, no pun intended, I'll be on board. But you're out in the alleyways hanging with people you're managing. I go, well, these guys are actually making money before you showed up. Quite literally, we saw them win dice games, and now they hang with you, and they're winning dice games. It's like, you almost elevate a team, or else I can't take you seriously.
I would like to see Scripps show us what put him in charge of those two in the first place. It's one thing to talk about it, but I want to see it. I want to see him do something that makes me go, oh, that's why these two big, scary individuals listen to what he has to say.
Shout out to Bob TV. Yeah, I'm with you as well, but again, they take the L tonight. I think the future's still bright with them. I do feel like on NXT Level Up, I forget their names now. There's a team that kind of fits their profile as well. So it looks like they're trying different types, which is something I think NXT has been doing. Like, for example, Kalani Jordan really got that spot when Sol Ruka went down with an injury. So I do feel like there's a space for them, but the window may be closing first.
What if they add, let me pitch this. I feel like I'm going to start and you're going to be like, I don't know. But then I think by the end, you'll be on board. And everyone in the chat, I want your thoughts too. What if we added another member to Out the Mud? Right? Okay. What if we added someone who can add a little bit of flair, but also has just that bigness to him, right? What if we added big body Javi to Out the Mud?
Hold on. First of all, does anyone remember Big Body Javi? I know we do. we're Big Body Javi guys. Like, I got the merch on
the board. I'll be honest. This whole thing is pitched just to get Big Body Javi on NXT.
Oh, okay. I think Big Body Javi needs to be on NXT, but that's a terrible idea. An awful idea.
I want him on TV. Put him in Out the Mud if we have to. Whatever. I want Big Body Javi.
Actually, if Big Body Javi came out to Lucian Price and Bronco Nima, they'll totally like make it like the Simon system. Remember those? Simon system is going to be the best one ever. No, that's a terrible idea. I hate it, Jack. I would never do that. But if you were to add Out the Mud, it would have to be a woman, first of all, and someone that matches like that profile, like someone that looks like they can scrap. It's too late for her, but Lolo Vice would fit perfectly in that group. Because I can see her choking somebody out, because that's what she did before she was a competitor in NXT.
Well, campaigning to get Big Body Javi on NXT. That's what I'm doing here. I'm just going to start pitching him with different groups until it happens.
Moving on. I got some burning questions for you, Jack. You know, I've been watching NXT. It's kind of things that happened this week. I just want your opinion on, because you're the resident expert here.
Sure am. And I got tenure, baby.
You do. I tried, but doesn't win better. So, Supernova Sessions makes its NXT US debut, and Alpha Academy is in the hot seat. First of all, one, do you think Otis has a chance with Last Legend? And second of all, what are your thoughts about Supernova Sessions being on NXT?
You know, one of the things about Noam Dar that no one gives him credit for is just how gracious he is, and how kind he is, and how giving he is. He came all the way to the United States for Supernova Sessions. Typically, as you know, his studio is in the moon, but
in the moon, he
usually broadcasts from the moon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're going to have a studio on the moon, you go into the moon. If you're on the moon, then you're going to be floating around everywhere, Flobo. Duh.
Fine, downtown moon. Continue.
So he's in the moon. From the moon is where he typically broadcasts, but he came all the way to the United States for this. And your point about Otis, you know, I got to give Otis more credit. You know, I've always been a fan of Otis, but I mean, this guy, like, first off, he's dating Mandy Rose. Now, not only does he have Maxxine Dupri, but right in front of her, he shoots his shot at Last Legend. My God, Otis, you're unstoppable.
Otis.
So does he have a chance? I mean, Flobo, have you ever seen the guy strike out?
Actually, I haven't. I can't argue with that logic, man. Hopefully Last Legend says yes, because that date scene would be the best comedy I've seen. I would ever see on NXT.
That would actually be very fantastic. I love, I've said for a long time, Supernova Sessions are the best talk show in pro wrestling. And I think maybe the best talk show for about as long as I can remember in pro wrestling.
That is a high praise. If you guys agree or disagree, let us know. The best talk show segment. It's a hard sell in the modern era. This Piper's Pit, there's a barbershop, but like the last, I would say from Talk is Jericho on, I think that could be a very good debate. Miz TV, Ding Dong Hello, all those KO show, all those things as well. What was the one that Bobby Lashley, the MVP Lounge, Abraham Washington show? You can go on and on. What was your favorite talk show segment? Let us know in the comments below.
That's why I say a long time, because I think when you get to like Piper's Pit and Barbershop, it gets a little too like that's your childhood, or like that was the first one, so like it hits a little different than if you compare to today. So it's like when you talk about best champions and someone always says Bruno Sammartino, you're like, well, does that count? And yes, but it's like, or like the best baseball player was Babe Ruth, like,
right?
Like,
I'm with you. I mean, I think back then those talk show segments were kind of like attractions. I was like, oh man, what's Piper going to do this week? You know, but like, or this time. But the ones now are definitely more concerted. We got to fill time. We need to get this person on. We're not going to do a regular promo. So they're a lot more frequent. So I think like it's a different, like a Bronze Age. It's like a different era.
Yeah. It's too hard to compare.
But speaking of bronze and other kinds of medals in the background, a warrior tea ceremony happened this week. Now, Xia Li seems to be the hardest working woman on the roster, has a match against Becky Lynch on Monday, a match against Lyra Valkyria for the NXT Women's Championship on Tuesday. And now she's getting into the mind games of it all. Thoughts about this one here? You want to see more of these?
I don't mean to throw you under the bus, but I mean, you're talking about bronze and you had a perfect segue to Braun Breaker, but we'll go.
Ooh, who's that? He's so, that on my notes.
Oh, we'll go to, yeah. What I liked about this, is that I like that we're seeing different sides of Xia Li, and I like that we're seeing different sides of her culture and what she brings. I think that's always really cool in pro wrestling when you can do those things and provide those things. I'm a little disappointed that Xia Li has seemingly taken her foot off the gas, though. I mean, she was out here knocking people out left and right, has knocked out Becky Lynch, has knocked out opponents on Raw. I'm a little bummed out that she sort of took her foot off the gas and is now just having a conversation. You know, I would have rather she just took off Lyra Valkyria's head.
I actually disagree. Before I say why I disagree, Lamb says this. Love to see Xia Li getting that push after having nothing for a long, long time. I'm inclined to agree, but I wonder if it's a bit too little, too late, or too much, too soon. The reason being is that, to your point, I like the fact she sat there and talked because I want her people to be that evil who is going to do something before she does something because we saw her do something. Kind of weird that Lyra didn't take the tea. That was very, very impolite, by the way.
Disrespectful.
Yeah, I am, but I am concerned.
No, not you, her. Lyra Valkyria.
No, I'm with you. I totally agree with you. But I am concerned that we're going to have a hot week next week and that she may go 0-2, unfortunately, and we never hear from her for a while.
I do worry that, I mean, I should say this. I think if this tea ceremony happened earlier, I would have been 100% for it. I just think that Xia Li had her momentum. She had things going, you know, and I think, like I said, she had the champ reeling, I think, in some ways. She had just taken out the champ's mentor. She had just taken out former NXT champion Indy Hartwell on Raw. I feel like where she was at, she was just firing all in all cylinders. If she started this conversation with Lyra at the beginning with the tea ceremony, I'd have said great. But now we're into the fight scene already. You know, we're into the action. I want to see her take off the champ's head. I also want to see Lyra Valkyria get some payback too. I like both these two. This is a spicy one. I'm really excited for Lyra versus Xia.
I really thought a fight would have broke out into the tea house, but I'm not sure if that would be culturally sensitive. I really don't know. But I thought that was going to be the implication of a tea ceremony, a warrior tea ceremony.
Was Lyra kind of the jerk in this one for not drinking the tea?
I think so. Like, if it was any kind of movie, there's that scene of submission where the good guy plays by the rules and goes, we're still different. We have this time to break bread, but we have a conflict. But she was like, oh, no, peace. You're like, dude, you're the good guy? Like, okay.
Yeah.
I hope Xia wins, to be honest. I hope she does. She does. But now, since Jack told me I'm a terrible host, let's talk about Braun Breaker for a bit. He's a badass, and Dijak disagrees, and to me, this is actually my favorite exchange of the evening. Dijak can really put it on when needs to be. I'm not sure what his character is. I can't really describe it to anybody, but when he says something, I feel it. Dijak, Braun Breaker, when's that match happening?
This is what I love about pro wrestling. These are two guys that just want to tear each other's heads off. They don't necessarily hate each other. Maybe they do, but if they do, it's just because they hate everybody. Like, they're just two guys who want to hurt people. You know, this is like the guy from Saw getting into a fight with the guy from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They're just two people who want to hurt people and they want to get into the ring. I'm excited to see this. It didn't need to be fancy and it wasn't fancy. And I don't think it's going to be fancy if and when they meet in that Iron Survivor.
Yeah, it's going to be just like hurting bombs, which I love. Give me some of that.
Give me the hurt bombs.
Speaking of people that should be fighting, but it's not. Eddie Thorpe, man's backstage being like, yeah, I was bad. I took some time off and I'm back now. And Charlie Dempsey, by the way, you don't have to tan every week, Charlie. We kind of get it, man. It's kind of get kind of scary. Says, you ain't tough at all. How about me and Drew Gulak beat you up? Now, Eddie Thorpe is someone I want to see win, but it looks like Drew Gulak and his crew is going to be a really formidable challenge.
To Dempsey's credit, I mean, he spent he spent so much time in Europe. I mean, now he's in Florida. He must be just like, oh my God, son, this is fantastic. Are you serious?
A natural right? reaction. Like, oh!
Wow. He steps off the plane and he's like a vampire. He's like, wow.
Yeah. Thank you so much, America.
But now he's got the sun. Now he's got, I think it's great. I think it's healthy for him to get some sun. It's good for him. See, this is the way I think Wesley should have come back. You know, Eddie Thorpe was like, look, I need to clear my head. I did it. Now I'm back, and I want to get back into contention to win some titles. And that's what he's saying. That's what he wants. And I like that. He's taking the right approach. I think Eddie Thorpe has his head in the game.
Well, I want to see more Eddie Thorpe. I think he could be a good star on the brand. Very unique. I mean, that's something you really don't see, a fresh gimmick that's hard to it's hard to replicate. You could do your own iteration of it. Like, everyone could be cocky heel, anyone could be underdog baby face, but his persona is very specific to him, which I really like seeing there. I got three more for you. Mm-hmm. Von Wagner, Mr. Stone, they're having a package, and apparently Von Wagner hates asparagus. Why is this breaking news this week?
You know, again, going back to what I said earlier about Mr. Stone is, he's focusing on the wrong things. I think he's letting his client down. You need to get him getting ready for successful wins. Paul Heyman is the greatest manager of all time, not because he takes his clients out for dinner, not because he's their friend. It's because he makes sure that they're always positioned for success. And I think that Robert Stone, Mr. Stone, whether it's because now he has become friends with Von Wagner, maybe it's because they have connected, I think it's blurring his vision and making it hard for him to act as a manager, which is his job. And I think he either needs to recuse himself of that role if he wants to just be his friend, or he needs to remind Von Wagner, look, we're friends, but I need to put you in fights where you're going to get beat up, but you're going to have to find a way to win.
No, and hold that's on. What
they should be talking about.
So when you file your taxes, you just go to your accountant and be like, sorry, no time for jokes. Because if we joke, I must leave you. Is that how you act?
Have never said a joke while having my taxes done.
Oh, you're missing out, man. It's more like, ha-ha, only 45 days of fraud, right? You're like, come on. Just saying, don't be a stiff. Be able to work and have a friendship with people that work with you.
90% of my tax filing is me sliding a receipt across the table, asking if I can write it off, and then sliding it back and saying no. Froyo is not tax deductible.
My God, sometimes you say you live in Redondo Beach, but I feel like you're like in Grand Theft Auto Vice City or something. Like, that is the most depressing exchange I've heard. But hey, props to you, man, because I know I'm going to jail. All right, two more for you. Slight question. Are Briggs and Jensen going to break up? Did you see that this week? It was kind of like weird.
Sometimes it's the right time. I think that these guys have been a tag team for a long time. At some point, you have to look at yourselves and ask, is this working? Is this best for both of us? I think maybe they're realizing that it's just not what's best for both of them. And if they want to stay in a tag team, that's fine. But at some point, you got to say to yourself, look at how crowded that room was. Look at how many tag teams were in there. How long have those two been a tag team? And did you tell yourself that's the experienced tag team I think is going to win the tag team titles next? Because I was looking at Umberto and Angel.
And you hate those guys.
And I'm fans of them.
Oh, now you are. Okay.
But, you know, you look at them. I'm even looking at Idris and Malik. I'm thinking maybe they got something going on. I wasn't looking at Briggs and Jensen like they are the team that has been together for years, has the teamwork and the background and the history to be the champions. Maybe it is time for them to look their separate ways.
Yeah, it was kind of an odd look, but if they go to separate ways, man, I don't think they're going to be able to find a hole in such a stack roster. But hey, I've been wrong before. And lastly, Joe Gacy is doing these selfie videos and no one seems to take that camera out of his hand, almost jumping off a building. Where is Ava Raine? What's Joe Gacy doing? What's next for the pair of those?
Joe Gacy's calling for help. And I think that we all need to be there for him. And the fact that so many people are so quick to make fun of this guy or laugh at this guy, that's the problem with this society we live in. Everyone wants to make fun of him, and everyone wants to talk about, like, oh, well, you're weird, you're different, I don't like the way you're talking, whatever. Joe Gacy, I believe in you, pal, and I think you can do great things. Get off the roof.
Believe in Joe Gacy.
Get back in the ring.
No one said he was crazy. It was kind of like, well, what was that? Is he fine? I guess. I don't know.
I hope.
But no one was laughing at some point.
Joe, I'm here for you.
All right. Draped in Gold, drapedingold.com. If you haven't already, make sure you leave us a 5-star review on that Apple Podcast or Spotify. We need them. A lot of the old 5-star reviews were purged when we had a little bit of a hiatus. So please, 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 if you love the show, please support it. But before we get out of here, it's now time for my favorite part of the evening. It's now time for that MVP of NXT. My man, GJCF, who was the one that really stuck out for you on this edition of NXT?
I'm going to go with Trick Williams. I mean, it's not rocket science. He qualified for the Iron Survivor. He beat someone who is known as the Iron King. I think that this was he has a whole lot of baggage surrounding him right now, and he was able to put it aside, and he was able to get the win.
Well, to me, far and away, and I can't believe I'm saying this, it's this Lash Legend had the upset of the night against the Prodigy, Roxanne Perez, is in the main event of the last PLE from all of WWE brands this year. This could be her chance to really show people, yeah, I took a year detour, but I have a ride.
Yep. And I would say it's a coin flip between the two. I agree.
Well, We'll be back here next week. I'm not even sure. I think we'll be back here next week. A lot of things will happen around about that, but we'll try to let you guys know wherever is the case. But, you know, if I want to follow you or interact with you, Jack Farmer, how I'll go about doing that?
You can follow me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. That is the best place to find me.
Well, of course, for me, drapedingold.com. Make sure to drop a 5-star review all across your favorite podcasting devices. But until next time, Jack Farmer, please hear the words.
Do your best and be yourself.